Good morning, and once again, welcome as we have assembled together to worship God. It is my prayer that He is pleased by the efforts that have been put forth in the way that we worship Him, as well as that which is about to be presented in this lesson, that it be according to God's Word. Just a couple of observations I want to make very quickly before I actually begin the lesson this morning. First of all, as was just mentioned in the announcements this evening, Joshua is going to be speaking for us. I know a couple of months ago, he presented a lesson for us. And one of the things that Joshua has expressed an interest in is to preach the gospel. So you know that we are certainly proud of that. And we want to encourage him in that effort. And Lord willing, from time to time throughout this year, Josh is going to be presenting a few lessons for us as he continues to develop. And hopefully he actually has some plans during the summer to do some things to learn a little bit more about preaching the gospel. So we ask your prayers on his behalf, and we ask you to rejoice with us in a decision such as this. Not that it is a necessary decision in order for one to rejoice, for not everyone can or ought to be preaching the gospel. Nevertheless, I wanted to mention that. Also, the other thing I wanted to mention is in reference to the lesson that I'm going to be presenting here this morning. I've been preaching the gospel now for more than 25 years, and I've never preached a sermon on this subject before. Nevertheless, it is a subject that when you examine the Word of God, it is something to give consideration to. When we deal with the subject of the home and ungodly homes in an ungodly world, as we've been engaged in an extensive study of this, and even though I say this is the 13th lesson, actually it's about the 16th or the 17th lesson, but we are bringing the study to its conclusion, and I thank Frank for his prayer addressing this very subject in his prayer and such. We know how important the family is where society is concerned, but the truth is there are many individuals who do not become what we might describe as a part of a traditional home when they leave their homes. That is, they do not marry. They choose the life of a single person. And of course, the question is, what place do they have in the kingdom of God? And what place do they have in a subject dealing with godly homes? And my answer is, as I've thought about this, that very much it is something that needs to be addressed. And it needs to be addressed for a number of reasons. For one reason is, not everybody that is single wants to remain single the rest of their lives. There are some who choose to be that way, but there are others who, they are seeking the right mate, and they are considering, or else they're considering the direction that they are going to take in their lives, whether or not they are going to marry or not. But in the meantime, until they find the right person, they're single. And thus they need to understand and give consideration to what God's Word would remind them to do. Secondly, God's Word is to govern our lives during this time, as I just finished saying in that last statement there. Now, one thing I want us to understand as I begin this particular study is this. Being single is not wrong. And we all know that. We all fully understand that, and we're going to see that there's actually some passages that address those who are single. But I want us to understand, and I want to remind us, those of us who are married, at the beginning of this lesson, that being single is not a weakness. It's not a flaw in somebody's character, or anything to that effect. When Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 4 says, marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. I want it to be clearly understood that that is not saying that marriage is necessary for one to live in honor. Nor is it saying that the alternative to marriage is not honorable. The point of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 4 is that marriage is a relationship that ought to be held in honor, and there are certain privileges that are reserved for marriage. And that is the point. And whether you are married or you are not married, and you choose to live the life of a single person, you need to respect the boundaries that God has given where marriage is concerned. So that is one reason that it actually factors into this particular study. And the reason I bring this up at the beginning is because for those of us who are married, let's be careful when we start playing matchmaker. You know, sometimes there are people who, they see somebody that is single and they just can't stand it. They think that they ought to have a mate. And so they start seeking mates for that particular individual. Well, you know, that may not be what that person wants at this point in their life. So we need to respect their wishes in those things and not try to force somebody upon them when that is not what they desire. So I bring that up at the beginning of this lesson because I believe that to be a valid consideration for us to think about. And that's not to say if you find somebody that you think would be good for somebody else that you might not introduce them. That's not the point. The point is don't try to force it. Imagine what would happen if you tried to impose your will pressuring a single person to get married and they give in to that pressure and they marry the wrong person. You don't want to be responsible for that. So just things to think about concerning being single, it not being wrong. Nevertheless, having said that, what about the Bible and the subject of singles? Well, some things to understand is, first of all, in the Bible we read of many different individuals who were married in the Bible. For example, Paul was not married, as we read about that. Daniel in the Old Testament was described as a eunuch. He would not have been married as a eunuch. And the reason individuals were made eunuchs in captivity is to serve and protect those who belong to the king. And the reason they were made eunuchs is so that they would not marry and such. Jeremiah was specifically commanded not to marry. Elijah was single. And of course, let us not forget about Jesus Christ himself, who lived upon this earth for 33 years, and he was not married. So you have many examples in scriptures of those who were not married. And then there are others who possibly were not married. And we don't know about their marital status, but what is addressed concerning them is as if they were single. Or in other words, their marital status was not significant to the point that was being addressed. Paul writes two letters to Timothy. There's nothing said about him having a wife. He's described as a young preacher of the gospel. Mary and Martha, Lazarus, you need read nothing about their spouses. So you have plenty of examples in Scripture of those who were single or possibly those who were single. And then we cannot forget about widows. The Bible addresses in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in other places those who are widows. A widow is single unless he or she remarries. So you have somebody who is single in that circumstance who at one time was in a married relationship but no longer is. And they have to give consideration to those ideas of dealing with one who is single. So as you can see, there's many examples in scriptures of singles. Furthermore, there are passages that address the subject of those who are singles. We discussed earlier in this particular study on the home, Matthew chapter 9. As a matter of fact, we addressed it in great detail, including some of the abuses concerning Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 9, where Jesus there says that only those who have put away a spouse for the cause of fornication may remarry. And other instances are lives of adultery. And you commit adultery if you unscripturally marry, because you're unscripturally divorced and such. A very strong statement. Well, that prompted the disciples of Jesus to say, then, is it not better that we not get married if that's the circumstance? Now, I want you to bear in mind in that context, when based upon that, there was an understanding of the strongness in which Jesus said what he did in Matthew 19:9. But here was his response in verse number 12, as he said, this is not for everybody in verse 11. Not everybody can handle this. He says, but there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb. And there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men. In other words, there are some who are born who do not have the ability to have children. And perhaps we'll never marry. And there are others who have been made such by men. And we give the example of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and the Ethiopian eunuch that you read about in Acts chapter 8. And various other examples, made eunuchs by men. But then he says, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuch for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Those who choose to live a single life. And bear in mind in this contrast, Jesus is using the term eunuch in contrast to a husband and wife being married to one another. And Jesus says there are some who just simply choose to live the life of a single person. And as you look at this text, he actually says that they do it for the kingdom of heaven's sake, for a commendable reason. So in Scripture, you find that to be the example. And Jesus says, he who's able to accept it, let him accept it. And then, of course, you have 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I ask you to turn over to that text because there's a few verses that I want to examine in this text. This is a passage where Paul gives instructions to the married, and we've discussed some of this context in our study on the home, and we've noted the responsibilities that husbands and wives have toward one another. But in the process of this passage, this chapter, Paul also deals with the subject of those who are single. He talks about those who are married and those who are not married. And he even says in verse number 8, I say to the unmarried and to widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. Now, of course, the reason he is saying that is because, as he describes it there, because of the present distress. That is, they were living in a time of persecutions. And Paul will go on in this text and he will explain some things about the married and the unmarried and why during the time in which this was written, it would be good for some to remain unmarried. And I contend that the same might be true in certain circumstances today. Let's notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 beginning in verse number 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 beginning in verse number 32. Paul there says, I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. I want you to notice that Paul gives the example here of those who are not married, how they have opportunities to serve the Lord in their single state. And they do not have the distractions, and I hesitate to use that word, but the distractions that a husband or wife has with their family. Now, please understand clearly, and if you read the entire context, Paul is not condemning marriage and he's not saying that marriage is worse than being unmarried. You read the context, you see that very clearly. Matter of fact, Paul says there are some who need to marry, which we'll talk about a little more as we go through this lesson. But he makes the observation here that if you're unmarried, you can go and spread the gospel like Paul did. As an example, he went on evangelistic tours. He did not have to be concerned about a wife or children. He could just go preach the gospel wherever. And when he had opportunity to go somewhere else, he could do that. If he were a husband, he has obligations toward his wife. Just as a wife has obligations toward her husband. We've studied all of those things. The one who is single does not have that. So you find in these passages, and there are others you could add to this, considerations concerning the Bible and singles. And incidentally, I was actually just thinking about this before I got up here. And I don't remember the exact passage, but when Jesus was confronted by the Pharisees, Jesus said that in heaven, we will not be married. each one of us will be there individually. Just a thought to consider on that subject. So now, having said that, we see that the Scriptures does address those who are single. And you can see that it's noble. But now, another thing to consider is, why are some single? And there's many different reasons. And this is a reminder to all of us to give consideration as we have those who are single around us within our congregation and those that we associate with. First of all, there are some who are single now but don't intend to be single the rest of their lives. They're just not ready to marry yet. There are some who, before they get married, they realize the seriousness of marriage and know that they're not ready right now. There are some who want to stabilize their lives. They have goals that they want to achieve. Perhaps they want to complete their education or secure a job with which they can adequately support their family. Maybe they want to travel or do other things that will be difficult, more difficult to do once you become married. Maybe they want to go spend 2 years preaching the gospel in a country where they cannot take a spouse with them or do the work of God in a country like that. And they want to do that before they get married. That is a legitimate reason for one to put off marriage. And quite honestly, it's responsible. How often is it young people get married when they're not ready? When they have not established themselves properly. And they set themselves up for a life, and I'm not going to necessarily say a life of failure, but a more difficult life. And especially in the early years, establishing themselves. Now that's not saying it's wrong to get married early. But the point is that sometimes it's wise to wait. Get your education out of the way. Once you get married, it becomes a whole lot more difficult to complete that education. And so on. Well, there are also some who they have not found the right person. They want to get married, but they have standards. Good. They have good, godly standards, and they want to find somebody who will help them carry out their standards and who will build them up in the cause of Christ. Somebody who with whom they can be heirs together of the grace of life so that their prayers be not hindered. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7, a passage dealing with husbands. They realize that, and they're looking for the right person, and the right person just has not come along. So they live the life of a single person. And there are others who just simply do not want to get married. It's just not their preference in life. They would rather be single. You also have those who have been made single. For example, we describe those who are widows. We also describe those who have been divorced. They're in a circumstance where they're single again right now. But that might not be their intent in the future. And then there are those who cannot marry. There are those who, in order to be pleasing to God, must live their lives single. Matthew 19:9, as we've already discussed and mentioned briefly in this lesson here, it very clearly points out that there are some who cannot marry because of past circumstances. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and 11, Paul said to the married, "I command yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband." And a husband is not to divorce his wife. And we discussed that passage in details earlier in this study. And the point that is being made there is there are some who, because of circumstances, if they respect the Word of God, they cannot marry. I believe that's an example of Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 12. Eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. So there are many different reasons why one might be living the life of a single person. However, for those who are single, there are concerns that need to be given consideration to. Just because one has chosen the lifestyle of being single does not exempt him or her from godly conduct throughout their lives. And being single can lead to some sinful attributes, some sinful attitudes. And let's briefly just talk about three of these attitudes that can be of particular concern to those who are single. The first one that we want to give consideration to is the risk of loneliness. There's a risk of being lonely. It is no secret that man is made to want to be around others. And that's the general rule. Are there exceptions to that? I suspect there are some. But the general rule is that we do not want to be alone. What is it read in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18? It is not, God said, it is not good that man should be alone. And that is why woman was created, a suitable helper for him. There was that understanding in that particular text. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, Solomon in that text talks about the value of a good friend. And what he says in that particular text in verse number 9 is he says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, while I have used this context in times past to address the subject of husband and wife, and I believe it applies, it also applies to anyone with a friend. We all need friends. That's the point. Even those who are single. One way to combat loneliness is to have friends. And quite often in the book of Proverbs, you read about the importance of friends. For example, in Proverbs chapter 17 and in verse number 17, you read in that particular text there, it says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. In Proverbs chapter 18 and in verse number 24, you read, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And if you have the New American Standard, yes, it reads different than that. But the point of it is there is a friend who stands closer to you than a brother. And there are many other passages that you could examine that address the importance of friendship and by the examples of Paul. Or excuse me. The examples of Solomon there. As he through wisdom understands the value of a friend. We're made to be with others. Those who are not married, those who choose to live the life of a single person, may be in a circumstance to where they become lonely. And that can lead to a lot of problems. That can lead to depression in one's life because they cannot find somebody. They want to be with somebody, but they cannot find somebody, so they're depressed. It may lead to desperation. You know of anybody that has married somebody out of loneliness and it turns out to be the wrong person? I know of individuals of which that is true. Then there's bitterness, jealousy, resentment. And the point of that is toward those who are not single. One who is lonely, who wants to find somebody but hasn't yet, they might be bitter toward those who have companions, especially in a couple of days, on the 14th of February. They become jealous of those and bitter and all other types of ungodly attitudes. Attitudes that if you're single, you have to guard against these. Realize, I'm not saying it's wrong to be single. That's not the point. The point is you have to watch out for these. These are dangers that are associated with that. And I want to specifically mention this. Do not let loneliness lead you to choose the wrong mate. Another danger associated with the single lifestyle is a potential for selfishness. Now, the Bible is very clear that selfishness is always a sin. I wrote an article on, am I selfish? A probing question that we all ought to ask ourselves in the bulletin. Selfishness is something we need to seriously address. In 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, you have a list there that I describe as the list of selfishness. You look at the things that are addressed in that list. Men that are lovers of themselves and they're unloving and various other attitudes that are all ungodly. And when you read that list, even though Paul wrote it some 2,000 years ago, nearly 2,000 years ago, you would think he wrote it yesterday in downtown Los Angeles. It's that modern. Because we're living in a selfish, selfish society. You find there in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, that James warns against these things. He says there, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasures that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. You want to spend it on yourself. You're selfish. And James says that that's a wrong attitude. And we understand that selfishness is wrong. Well, there is a tendency for those who are single, because in your life, you don't have to share your possessions with your spouse or share your possessions with your children. I was actually reading a book a little bit earlier this week dealing with the subject of wealth and identifying why many 25-year-olds and those who are in that professional age bracket, 20 to 25, aren't married. They don't want to get married. And some of them have actually said, I'm too selfish. I'm afraid if I get married, I'll won't respect my wife because I'll have to share my possessions with her. If I have children, I'll have to give them some of my possessions. I don't want to do that. I'll tell you right now, they don't have a problem with marriage. They have a problem that goes much, much deeper than that. But there's a tendency when in your life, because you don't have a family to care for, there is a danger of you thinking about yourself and keeping everything for yourself. Whereas often in the family, if a husband is doing his job, and if a wife is doing her job, and if parents are doing their job, and children doing their job, we realize that we have family that we need to sacrifice for. And are not our lives about sacrifice, about how much we give for others? So that's just a warning. In Proverbs 18 and verse 1, you read, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desires. He rages against all wise judgment. Someone that isolates himself, he's thinking about himself, he says there. And he says that he rages against all wise judgment. That means he doesn't listen to other people. He doesn't care what other people think, because he's thinking about himself. And how many people are there in this world that we live in who have that type of an attitude? That's just simply something that we need to guard ourselves against. But then there is also the potential for sexual temptations. We live in a very, very sensual society where fornication is not condemned. And I realize that that is a very light statement. Because in reality, fornication is encouraged by many within this society. Many single, remember we pointed out early on in this study how there are statistics of how there's more singles now than there used to be? It doesn't mean that they're choosing to forgo the blessings of that are reserved for marriage. It means that they're seeking those privileges outside of marriage. They're engaging in fornication. And it's treated as if it's nothing, if it's no big deal. Counselors sometimes encourage people, try before you get married. How sad to live in an ungodly, immoral society. You drive down the road, you look at billboards, you see sexual pictures. It's found everywhere in our society.
Well, I'll tell you right now that God created the marriage relationship in which to take care of natural desires that God has provided for each of us. We all have desires, needs in this area. God provided marriage to take care of those desires. Those who choose to live the life of a single person or who are single, they do not have this provision. And therefore, they are more likely to face the temptations in this area. So it's something that they need to be alert of. I want you to hear me very clearly on this. Fornication is never, ever acceptable to God. Sometimes you hear people say, you know, but God wants me to be happy. You know, I think He wants me to be happy. So He understands why I'm doing what I'm doing. Don't ever believe that God wants you to be happy more than He wants you to be holy. Don't ever believe that God wants you to be happy more than He wants you to be faithful to Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and in verse number 9, going back to that text, Paul there had this to say. He says, verse 8, which we read, I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good that they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion, as the New King James Version says. Those are some of the dangers that those who are single face. Now, if one is single, what can they do? What are some things that can help those who are living the single lifestyle? Well, number one, accept your lot in life. And we know that this applies to every one of us. Whatever state we find ourselves in, we need to accept ourselves in that circumstance. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And he talks about how I know how to abound and how to want. I know how to be hungry and to be full. It didn't matter what circumstance he was in, he learned contentment. And while we're at 1 Corinthians 7, notice what it says in verses 17 through 24. Paul there said, as God has distributed to each one as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordained in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandment of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. For he was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. Accept your lot in life. Now, I want you to notice in that text, he says that if there are certain circumstances that you're in that you want to change, it's not wrong to change a circumstance if it's for the better. Sometimes those who are single want to get married. Fine. But he says, be content where you're at. And you be the best in the circumstance that you're in. If you are single, whether by choice or by your lot in life, make the best of the situation that you are in. Think of the good things that you can do because you are single and not married. And seek to do those things. And another thing that you can do that will help you is to develop a sense of spirituality in your life. And again, this is something that every Christian needs to understand. We're commanded in Matthew 6 and verse 33 to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In Romans chapter 8, a passage in which Paul is dealing with the subject of the Spirit, he says there in verses 5 and 6, those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You seek to be spiritually minded. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1 says, seek those things that are above. And verse number 2 says, set your mind on things above. Those who are single, who are in that circumstance, as well as those of us who are married, but those who are in this single lifestyle, and maybe you don't want to be there, but you are right now, develop your life as a Christian. It will help you to come whatever obstacles you might face. Again, remember 1 Corinthians 7, 32-39 that we read earlier on. Think of the things that you can do for the Lord while in this circumstance. See your present situation as a blessing. And use it to make yourself stronger as a Christian. And use it to help others to whatever degree that you can. Another thing that will help those who are single is to associate with the godly. Again, we are reminded it is not good that man should be alone. You need friends. And one thing you need to do is you need to choose your friends wisely. Hopefully, one who marries chooses his or her spouse wisely, giving consideration to whether or not they will enhance their service to God. We've discussed all that. But the same thing is true with a single person. Pick your friends carefully. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, evil company corrupts good habits. Some versions say evil companions or evil companionship corrupts good morals. Choose your friends wisely. Proverbs 13 and verse 20 says, he who walks with the wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Find godly friends that you will associate with, those who will build you up in your present circumstance. Develop godly habits. This goes along with being spiritual. Pray. Pray often. Study the Bible. Assemble with the saints. Look for opportunities to teach others. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 again. And I want you to notice verse number 5 here. This is an interesting observation here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. And to give you the context there in verses, this is in the midst of a context where it says a husband is not to deprive his wife and a wife is not to deprive her husband. Then he goes on and in verse number 5 he says, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I want you to notice there, he says that the reason you would consent, deprive one another for a time is so that you can give yourself to fasting and prayer. So that you can serve God. Even the married are told, find time alone to serve God. So those who are single, use the time that you have to serve God. Develop godly habits in your life. In addition to that, do good to others. This goes along with associating with others. Nowhere does the Bible commend the isolated lifestyle. That's what's wrong with monasteries. Religions in times past, they built a monastery out on some remote mountain somewhere, and the people that go there, they isolate themselves from the rest of the world. Or communities. Amish communities and such, where they seek to a great degree isolate themselves from the rest of the world. That's not the biblical concept of the way a Christian is to live. We're to live in the world. We're not of the world, but we live in the world. The Bible does not commend the isolated lifestyle. Every Christian has a responsibility to do good for others. Whether you're married or whether you're single. There's a host of one another passages, and we've talked about those in the lessons in times past. Passages that describe what we are to do for one another. That applies to every Christian, whether you're married or whether you are single. And one thing you can do to make your life fulfilling, even though you are single, is do good for others as you have opportunity, Galatians chapter 6 and in verse number 10. Seek godly wisdom from others. We've already read passages that warn about being isolated and ignoring the wisdom of others. In Proverbs chapter 27, and in verse number 17, you read, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." Seek godly advice from others. If you don't have a spouse, you still need godly advice. Go to your elders. Find friends of like mind to whom you can go and receive encouragement to do that which is right. Don't isolate yourself from the truth or from learning what you need to learn about yourself to make yourself what God would have you to be. So find friends who will tell you what you need to do. And finally, at all costs, eliminate sexual temptation in your life. As we've already pointed out, you're human. And God has provided the marriage relationship for which to provide release in our lives. Without a spouse, you're more vulnerable. And therefore, you need to be extremely vigilant to avoid every form of sexual temptation, whatever it is. You need to think about the movies that you watch. You need to think about the books that you read, the music you listen to, what you watch on television, where you go on the computer. And yes, every Christian needs to do that. But the point is as a single person, you have to flee youthful lust. 2 Timothy 2:22. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee fornication. And here's an interesting passage. Song of Solomon. This is a book that we haven't really studied for various reasons. But in one of the passages, you find that maidens are being addressed. The daughters of Jerusalem are being charged. And what they're told there in Song of Solomon 2 verse 7 is, do not stir or awaken love until it pleases. And what that passage is actually saying there is, do not awaken sensual desires until you have a legitimate means with which to satisfy those desires. And that's a lesson for all of us and something that especially singles need to give consideration to. And thus we can see some recommendations, some thoughts based upon the Word of God for those who are living the single lifestyle. And may each and every one of us, whatever our lot in life may be, whether it be to live the life of a single person, whether it be to live the life of one who is married, seek to be pleasing to God and fulfill that life according to God's will. The lesson is yours.